Verse 3 there speaks about witnessing for thee, Lord, everywhere I go. And it's good to have a testimony, it's good to give a testimony. And we are very glad to have our brother Noel with us this evening. We welcome him in the Saviour's name, and we're going to ask him now to come and speak to us, please.
Well, we thank Mr. McClung for the warm words of welcome. It's a great joy to be with us here again tonight. And we certainly pray the Lord to bless our time together to come to really give a testimony. But I sort of mix it up together with a little passage from God's Word and to bring the gospel. I pray tonight that everything will be said and done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder to have a testimony. That's our tremendous hymn we're singing about being set free from sin, from Satan, and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened to me many years ago, on the 19th of January, 1985, the Lord Jesus set me free, and he saved me. So I've come tonight not to glorify sin or anything like that, but I had to tell my story, and of course, to glorify Christ. Maybe someone in the meeting tonight, and you're unsaved, unconverted, and you know the gospel inside out, you've heard it perhaps preached many, many times, but tonight you're not saved. You're not right with God. And we pray tonight the Lord will speak to you and you'll be saved. And you know, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blessed the thing of knowing Christ and having him as your Lord and Savior. Now I want to turn to Luke's Gospel and the chapter 15. It's a well-known passage, but it's one that I base my testimony on, with the Lord Jesus Christ here was speaking. And Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Now what a picture we have here in verse 1, because it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And amen. And we pray indeed the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. We word of prayer together and pray that God will bless us here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of coming to meet with God's people, to meet with thee, and to tell the story of saving grace in my life. I pray that I will bless everything that be said and done, even to the hearts of those who are unconverted, and Lord, that they might come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I pray my testimony be encouragement to your people. Maybe they've got a wayward son or daughter out in the world tonight, and they're praying for them, and they're still lost. That they'll be encouraged to press on and to pray on for them, and to see them return home to Christ. So bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we have a tremendous picture here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 1. Because we find the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, sitting with a crowd around him. And the Bible there in verse 1 tells us that they were publicans and they were sinners. The very worst of society, in a sense, were gathered around the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord Jesus had these people all before him, he wanted to show them a very important lesson. A very simple truth. That they were lost. He told them about the son that was lost. He told them about the woman who lost the coin. He told them about the sheep that we read together. It was lost. The shepherd, at the end of a day's work, he came home and he started to count his sheep, 97, 98, 99, and perhaps he says, maybe I've miscounted them, and he counted them again, 97, 98, 99, and he says, one of my sheep's lost. I've lost one of my sheep. Now, it wasn't the shepherd's fault. The shepherd loved them. The shepherd protected them. The shepherd cared for them. He watched over them. It certainly was not the shepherd's fault. One of the sheep was lost. Disobedience, wandered away from the fold. It was in danger and far away from the shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He wanted to get this lesson right into the hearts of these people who were gathered around them, that they were lost. There'll be some in this meeting tonight, and you're lost. You're lost. There was a time in my life, I was lost. That's my starting point tonight. I was lost. I was not brought up in a Christian home in any shape or form. I was brought up in a home where I saw my dad used to drink a lot. We belonged to the local Church of Ireland church. We were sent to the Sunday school. I never really heard the gospel in any shape or form. And my mom made sure that we would go to Sunday school. And though it was not a Christian home, I have to say that mom was very good to us. And sought to do everything she could for us in her home. There were 10 of us at home. A large family, but I have to say, not a Christian home in any shape or form. The only religious background I would have had as a young lad growing up was there was a CEF meeting came to Corky's Corner. I'm from Glenan, near Marky Till. Well, that was something to do, and there's nothing much to do in our day. So we went to the meeting. But we weren't going to a meeting to learn the gospel. We were going to carry on. And that's exactly what we did. Pea shooters, everything with us, to keep going in that meeting. So I know what it's like now when I take children's meetings and I see children, I just see myself. That's how we did it. And it's amazing. I sat there and I listened to people from the CEF and I never heard how to say it. Now, they told it. I've no doubt about it. They were good teachers and they preached the gospel, but we never heard a thing. We sniggered and we laughed. We carried on and we got through out and all the rest of it. But I remember walking home from those meetings as a young fella. I used to pray, Lord, forgive me for being a bad boy. I was a bad boy tonight in that meeting. I used to ask God to forgive me. But you know, we're back next week. I was just as bad as ever. And so on. And that was things, my only religious things that I really had in my life. I never really was hearing the gospel at all in the Church of Ireland in any shape or form. I remember as a young man then going to discos. And I was going to disco in Marky Till. And I was going to this disco, and we had the best, some people can maybe remember the Best City Rollers, and we were all the gear on us, tartan trousers, scarves, all the rest of it. And we were walking up, and there was this fella standing outside it, and he was giving out invitations to a coffee bar in Marky Till, which was a Christian thing. They got people in and would have talked to him. I'm assuming that's what it was. I've never had it. But we all gathered around him. And we said, well, what are you doing? Well, he told us what he was doing. Of course, we laughed. Come on into the disco. Come on in here for a bit of crack with us. And we gave him a bit of abuse, no doubt. But you know, in my heart, I was saying in my heart, what a brave fellow that is. He's standing there by himself. And all of us are gathered around him. And I want to tell you here tonight, I never in my life forgot the fellow standing by the side of the road. And he made it home that night and said, well, that's the end of it. Maybe you go home, you outreach, you get a difficult night, and he says, well, I'm giving up on this. You get abused, you get laughed at, and you get mocked. And I don't know where he went home that night and thought like this. I wouldn't blame him if he did or not. But he doesn't know tonight I'm saved. I never forgot the fella who stood by the side of a road. But I was lost. And so I was in this home. I wasn't Christian in any shape or form. I loved football. I was a football fanatic. I would have loved to have been a footballer. I don't know why I was never spotted. I don't know. Of course, there's no good. But that's what you think, of course, when you're growing up. You'd love to be a footballer. Follow Manchester United and all the rest of it. Well, another great thing in my life was that, of course, I played in a pipe band, Vestry Crimson Hour pipe band. I loved drumming. Drummed in Scotland and different places. And another great event was when I was 16. I left school. Couldn't wait to leave school. Thought I'd never see the day I'd get out of school. Of course, the day came. The school bag was kicked into the corner. I learned very, very little in school. But the night I was 16, boys, you think you're a big fella, don't you? You're only a child. Well, of course. I thought I was a big fella. I was left school, and I was 16. I must say, I forgot to say there earlier on, that I said to Mum, when I grow up, Mum, I'll never drink. I'll never go to the bars. I don't want to go to the clubs. I don't want any alcohol in any shape or form. But now I was 16. I left school. Where do you think I went to? 16 years old. I started to go to the pub. That's where I started to go. Saturday night, mates, into the bar, away we went. And I started drinking one drink, a pint of shandy and lemonade mixed together. And 16, and then before I knew it, was 2 pints and 3 pints and 4 pints. I took the lemonade out of it, and then before, I was drinking vodka. And I remember being so drunk, I was only about 17 to 18 years old, lying on the street of Market Hill in the snow. Here the father says, "Mom, you know, when I grow up, I'll never drink." Well, that's what I do. I started going to the bar, standing beside my dad drinking in the bar as well. And so I started a life just of going to the bars and drinking. And while I was doing all this thing, I must say to myself, I said, there's something missing. There's something missing in my life. You see, I was lost. I came home one night, my mom met me outside. And when I came out, she says, "Noel, your dad has been taken ill." And he was up on Newtown Hamilton at a bar. He took ill in the bar. They thought he was drunk. And so we sat around his bed for about 3 or 4 nights. And the Saturday morning, mom came running up the stairs. And she didn't have to tell me, but I knew what the news was. My dad was dead. You know how old he was? He was 54. I was 17. That was a big shock to her home. That dad was gone. Well, I went on in my life into the bars, still drinking. She used to drink maybe 4 or 5 nights a week. When we had any money in the pockets, where we're going, went to the pub. That was just life. Playing in the pipe band, playing football for different teams, drinking a bit out, going to discos, going to dances. But as I said, I used to stop and I said, there's something wrong in my life. There's something missing. I don't know what it is. And I went through my life. I got an old banger of a car. I'm playing football for a team. Maybe I had a girlfriend. I said, there's something not right. You know what the problem was? I was lost. That's the problem. I was lost. I didn't know it. I didn't know that scripture. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I didn't know it. I didn't know these parables that Christ taught to show the people that they were lost. I didn't know any of this. But I said, there's something not right in my heart and my life. I was lost and I didn't know it. I'm heading down towards hell and I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Maybe you're here tonight in this meeting and you say, "Well, Noel, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know if I die the way I am tonight, I'll be lost in hell for all eternity." And if you don't know it, I hope the Lord speaks to you and shows you here tonight in this meeting that you are lost. You've sinned against the Lord. Different ways, of course, than myself. But we've all wandered far away from Christ, and I was lost. And that was my life. Drinking, pipe bands, dances, discos, playing football, a Manchester United fanatic, but I was lost. But we find here in this particular passage that the shepherd went looking for the sheep, and he noticed that it was lost immediately. Immediately. He had this loving concern for the sheep that was lost. He went out searching for it. He went out personally. He didn't say to some of his servants, "Get out and look for that sheep that was lost." You know, dear friends, he went out personally. He went out patiently. He went out searching for the sheep that was lost. Over the hills, the valleys, the fields. Searching, calling. Looking for the sheep that was lost. Well, I want to tell you here tonight about a great Savior who came looking for me. And a mission came to my home village in Glenann, just outside Market Hill, in 1983. Now, I did not do missions. I didn't hardly went to church at all. I forgot to say, Mum says, "Go to Sunday school till you get confirmed." I got confirmed. I must have been about 14 or 15. And she said, "After that, you can do whatever you like." So it was goodbye Sunday school, goodbye church, and goodbye God. So I was me. Now, I maybe went to church once or twice a year, maybe Remembrance Day and things like this. So I didn't do meetings. Certainly didn't do missions in any shape or form. But a mission was coming to my village. And you never guess who was doing it. The Free Presbyterians. Well, boys, I hated the Free Presbyterians. Dr. Pace in them, now he wasn't a preacher. I didn't like the Free Pace at all. And they're going to come to my village to do a mission. Now, my sister would go to, went at this time to Mulleglass Free Presbyterian Church. And I used to visit her. And me and Horton used to argue the bit out. about Dr. Paisley and everything, and I used to get very angry and cross with her. And she said to me, there's a mission coming to the corner. That's what we called her, the place. She said, you might be going. I never argued and fought. I said, well, you never know. But I had no notion. I had no notion of going to that mission in any shape or any form. I did not do meetings or missions. But this mission was coming where I lived. Now, I'll not go all in tonight how God brought me in, but God brought me in. Broke my heart. My life, He shook me. And I felt it constrained one day. Get you to that mission. Get to the mission, out of the blue. And I phoned my mate, and I says to him, do you fancy going over to the corner, I says, here to this mission? There's a mission or something on. Well, head over to him. He says, I'll go with you. Two of us didn't do it, but we talked about it, the two of us together. And so those two boys ploughed into this mission. And we went in and we sat down. And there's a man there, and he was called Joe Peden. And he's no Joe. And this man, Joe Peden, got up to give his testimony. And if you've heard Joe Peden's testimony, you've heard mine. And Joe Peden told about how he didn't like school. Well, I was ticking all the boxes here. That was me. And then Joe told how he loved football and played football. Well, that was me. And Joe told how he drank and racked about. Well, this was me. Me and my mate, we were in the bars 4 or 5 nights a week. And then Joe told how he watched his father die. I was ticking all these boxes. And then our brother Joe Peden told how the Lord Jesus saved them. And I want to tell you, friends, I found the answer. I found it. I was sitting there, a young fellow, miserable in the world because sin does not satisfy. And I was lost and I was miserable. I pretended I was happy in the bars and clubs. I pretended to be the life and soul of the party. But I was lost, and here I heard a man standing up and he was telling the answer that I had been searching for was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And he told how he was converted and changed. And there I was sitting. And you know, that night I was in that meeting, I said, but I must confess, I looked around and God's people were singing. They were happy. I was miserable. And this man got up and gave his testimony. But I had heard, I found the answer. I needed to be saved. I didn't know I needed to be saved. I didn't know I was going to hell, but I learned it that night sitting there with my mate. And we came out of that meeting, the two of us. And we got changed and dumped in the car. And away to Mark, he told me the bar. I'm sitting drinking. And I was looking into the pint glass I was drinking at. And I was thinking what I'd heard. And I was back next night at the mission. And the next night, I probably came out some of those nights. And away to the bar again. But I'd heard the answer. And I went nearly every night to that mission. To the close. And I remember I used to sing, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. And Come to Christ. And I said, I'd love to be saved. But of course, how could I be saved? I drank the bit out. I lived a wicked life, in a sense, a sinful life instead of God. I cursed like a trooper. I couldn't be a Christian. The devil says, hold on, you're too young anyway. Only in my early 20s at this particular time. No, he says, just wait. And I did not get saved. And I walked out of that meeting, I must confess, with a heavy heart, because I knew I should have got saved. But I found the answer, Jesus Christ. He came looking for me to my village. Right, isn't that amazing? The very place where I lived, a wee place, pokey place called Glenan, he came looking for me. And I was starting to go to an odd wee gospel meeting there with my sister to listen to more about this. But I was really on the conviction of sin. I knew I was going to hell. And I fell in with my girlfriend Joan in 1983 as well, who's now my wife, though I didn't know it at that particular time. That's how it's going to work out. So I was going with Joan in 1983 as well. I was going to the bars and going to the discos and going to the clubs. And I had to go out unknown to anybody. And I used to say, Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. If you come, I'm not ready. If I die, I'm going to hell. I used to drive a crane for a firm. And I said, if I hit those electric wires with a jib of the crane, I says, I'm going to go to hell. And I used to go to watch Northern Ireland play football in Windsor Park when hardly anybody would go to watch them. I used to say, Lord, I'm not ready. I'm not right to meet thee. You know what was happening? The Lord was looking for me. He was searching for me. Everywhere I went, football matches, play football, bars and clubs and discos and work. He was searching. He was calling me. He was calling me to come to him. He was searching for me. Calling. 1984, Joan and I had planned to get engaged. It was coming up around July. I said, drove a crane for a firm in Glenan. I did a job for a fella in Portydown. I'd never met him in my life. But I did this job, put a machine in for him, and as I was packing up the crane, he came over to the window and he put his hand up, and it was a pound. And I said, well, that'll get me a pint. So he took a step forward. I said, that'll get me a pint tonight. It was the 11th of July. So he stepped back and he says, did I hear you say that'll get you a pint? I says, you did. Well, here's a Christian. And he started to preach to me up at the window. And I looked down and I says, what do you think of Paisley? And he's got the whole thing off me, of course. But that was my pet subject. And so he says to me, Noel, you'll be back here to put another machine in for me. I hope you're saved. Well, sure enough, like I went to the 12th and drunk a bit out and all the rest of it. But sure enough, later on, must be, I think it's August, September, I can't recall the exact month now. I went back and put another machine in for him. And he gave me another pound. I didn't say anything this time. But I didn't have to. And this man, David, he started to talk to me about Christ and trusting Christ to be my Lord and Savior. And I looked, as a car came up a drive, and this man, got out, it was his minister, and he got out, and there was me stuck between these two men, and they were telling me about Christ could be my Savior and change my whole life. But I want to tell you here tonight, I loved every word they're telling me. I loved it all. The great story of the cross. How Christ loved me. How he could save me. And as I was leaving that day, David said to me, Noel, there's something holding you back. There's something stopping you coming to Christ. And I says, well, there is. You see, Joe and I was going to get engaged to Christmas. David says, hold on a minute. You're going to lose Joan over this. You're going to lose her. Never mind you not be able to keep it. You drank, you cursed, and all the rest of it. So as I was leaving David, he said to me, Noel, I'm going to ask you the most important question in your life. And he looked up, and here's the words he said to me. It's a question that's found in the Bible. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the question Pilate cried out to the crowd. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And he looked at me and said, Noel, the most important question in your heart says, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Which is called Christ. I want to tell you here tonight, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword. I was pierced. He didn't know it. I was wounded badly. I said, you're right. What am I going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I'm either going to accept him and be saved or reject him and go to hell. And I went up the road and that question was going through my mind. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You see, the Lord was searching for me. He's looking, no matter where I went, looking for me. Maybe there's something here tonight in this meeting, and the Lord is speaking right to your heart at this particular moment. You're not right with God, and you're far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know you're lost, and you need Christ Jesus to be your Savior, and He's calling you. He's calling you tonight to come to Him. What are you going to do with Jesus? Which is called Christ. That's just black and white, isn't it? That's simplicity of the gospel. Are you going to accept Him? Are you going to reject Him? You see, He's searching. He's searching for the sheep. The Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He came searching for me. I went up and said to Joan, I hardly talked to that night, and I says, well, I did mention briefly about being saved, but it was only really briefly. He says it wouldn't matter, but that's all it was. I was under real conviction of sin. The Lord was searching. The Lord was calling for me. And the devil says, you'll never keep it if you got saved. And not only that, he says, you're going to lose Joan. And that was a big one for me, because I didn't want to lose her. We got engaged to Christmas, just come to Christmas 1984, moved into 1985 now, and we find here in our passage about the sheep, shepherd finding the sheep. He found it. He lifted it. He put it upon his shoulders. He says, you're coming home. He cried out to the people, rejoice. Rejoice with me. I found the sheep that was lost. And the Lord, that's a great picture of Christ and saving the lost. The night before I got saved, I was drinking again the Market Hill in the bar. Joe and I got engaged just a couple of weeks before this, a few weeks. We were sitting in the bar, and I was drinking away. And this man walked down the bar that I knew from as a wee fella. And the bar was packed. And he stopped right behind me. And he says, Noel. And I turned round, and I looked at him. I knew him. He'd lost everything in his life, this man. Lost his wife, his family, and he's an alcoholic. And know what he said to me? In the middle of that bar, he says, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. And I want to get off the bar stool. and put my arm on his shoulder and says, hold on a minute, you're wrong. Because I felt the same. But I had heard the answer. I had found the answer that Jesus Christ loved us. And he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And I want to get off the bar. And I want to preach in the bar and tell them that Jesus loved us. Oh, I can't do this. I drank away. And I drunk. And I left Joan home. Got up the whorehouse. And there was a mate starting blind drunk. And I got him in the car. And I was probably half drunk myself. And I left him home. And the Lord was saying to me, Noel, if you get saved, you can help your friends. I saw things differently. We were all drinking in the bars. I said, we're all going to hell. When I was on the dance floor dancing about and acting the lug, I said, we're all going to hell. I saw things differently. And I went home that night and I went to bed. I tossed, I turned, I tossed, I turned. And it was the 19th of January, 1985, and the devil was raging against me. He says, you can't get saved. You'll never keep it. You curse, you drink. And then, of course, you're going to lose Joan. I just got engaged. And there I was lying in my bed on the 19th of June 1985. And I fired the blankets back. And I says, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I didn't know how to get saved. I says, I'm coming home. And I went over to the windows and I opened up the curtains. And what a fall of snow had been on the 19th of June 1985. The place was covered in snow. And I got on my clothes and went down the stairs. And Mum says to me, are you away to the bar? You used to go early to the pub on Saturday morning for the cure. I says, no, I'm not going to the pub. Didn't say where I was going. The Lord was directing me to the minister of Mother Glass at that time, was Reverend Alec Chambers, the man who did the mission 2 years before with some others. I says, no, I'm not going to the pub. And I drove through the snow, and the car actually got stuck on his drive in Mother Glass, and I walked up through the snow, a real winter's morning, and I knocked the door. And his wife came out and he came out. And he says, yes. I says, can you show me how to be saved? He says, I can. And he brought me into his wee room. And he showed me about sin. I said, yes, I know I'm lost. He told me about Christ's love and his sacrifice upon the cross. He died for me, yes. And he could save me. I said, yes. And you want to get saved? I says, I do. But I told him how I was troubled for 2 years from the mission. And on that day, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And I want to tell you here tonight, he saved me. That morning, he saved me. In a moment, I was a new person. And Mama said, are you saved? I said, yes, I'm saved. I had a peace in my heart. We were singing, he had set me free. And I went out to that house, and I tell you this, I thought it was a new world. And I went, jumped into the car, and I drove home. And immediately, I told the people what had happened. And I must confess, and I know it's not a deputation meeting tonight, but from I could see it, the Lord put in my heart to see people saved. I told my mum, she got my sister, something's happened to Noel, they all gathered around me. And they said, what happened to him? I said, I got saved. They couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. My best friend out in the square was going around the car and I waved him down and I ran out and I said to him, listen, I've got saved. He looked at me and he said, I'll give you a week. Give you a week. He saved the night as well, by the way. I had to face Joan. So I phoned her up and says, I'm coming up, I want to tell you something. I'll not tell you what you thought was coming, tell her, but that's a different story. I says, I got saved. I told her about the battle I've had for 2 years, and I hid it. And I thought that Joe and I was going to break up. We both cried together, and I says, I had to do it. And I actually thought that Joe and I was going to fall out over this, because it wasn't going to work. We just got engaged, but it wasn't working. No more pubs for me, no more discos. And I remember meeting a man, and he says to me, I told him, I said, I feel I'm going to lose my girlfriend over this. And this man was not saved, but God used him. And the man looked at me, and you know what he said to me? He says, are you going to turn back for Joan? Are you going to go back to the pubs for Joan? Discos for Joan? And I says, I'm not going back. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And you know, a great load lifted off my heart that day. And he says, well, it's going to have to learn to love you where you are. And he says, that's exactly the way it is. I found Jesus Christ. And I have to say, that night I ended up to see Joan. And the whole bar, it was all picture, no sound, man, he's a night. Before that, the bar was down and we had a good night. And later on, I had to say, it was, I could say it in January, the mission came to McNorris just from down the road from where I lived. And the very first night of that mission, Joan got saved. And a few weeks after me. And that was the start of the Lord's blessing me. And then my sister got saved, my brother-in-law got saved, my mom got saved, my other sister, my best friends. And I saw people come to Christ in the first years of my conversion, after my conversion. Family members and friends of the past, boys I drank with. And I saw God coming and the Lord dealing with hearts of people. And so he saved me. And he saved John. He's blessed us with 4 children. We have 6 grandchildren. And then the Lord, of course, after my salvation, called me into the ministry. And I did tell you, I made reference to it. I never learned very much at school. But the Lord chose me. I'd learned something you didn't learn at school. Like, we have a Christian school here, but not in my school. I'd learned that Jesus saves. And his blood washes whiter than the snow. And God called me to be an evangelist. And maybe sometime you'll hear part 2 of that story. Of how he called me and led me into the ministry. And from that time, I was at college in 1987, out in 1990, and I full-time evangelist. I served the Lord in Northern Ireland, Australia, England, and Scotland and Northern Ireland. At this particular minute, I'm working as a full-time evangelist under a mission board. I go around doing missions. I do children's work, as you know, in the summertime there are holiday Bible clubs. But I do gospel missions as well. Just finished a mission there last Sunday in Market Hill Free Presbyterian Church. I do door-to-door evangelism, open-air preaching, and I'm bringing out this message to people. The message that changed my life. The Lord Jesus Christ, he saved me. And he saved me and gave me everlasting life. And that's my life. So pray for me as I go about this work in our province. Our province needs to hear the gospel of Christ, and pray that God will open the way for me to preach the gospel. And the Lord will give me help to bring this message out to people. Because it is only hope for people. The message of the gospel of Christ, that he came into the world to save sinners. It's his blood that washes away our sin. And I say to you tonight in this meeting, he's your only hope. And I say, don't miss him. Don't miss Christ. You need a Savior. You need this one to reach down and to save you and to lift you up from that horrible pit of sin that you're in and to bring you to heaven. He's the Savior of the world. So he saved me and he changed me. And he called me, and he's been with me to this day, and he's never failed me. I failed him many times. I failed Christ many times in my life. But he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And I would strongly recommend Christ to you tonight in this meeting. If you're unconverted, come to him. Come to him tonight. If he can save one like me, he can save you. And for God's people who's praying maybe for a daughter or son who's in the world in bars and clubs, remember me. Didn't do meetings. In any shape or form. And God speaks, he'll touch him, and he'll change him, and he'll save him. So we pray God to bless my word and my testimony tonight to all hearts. Thank you very much tonight for listening. Thank you.